No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
To tell you that today's show is also sponsored by our friends at FanDuel. FanDuel is your go-to spot to bet on all sports across all landscapes. Right now, obviously, college football is wide open. They've got the latest odds, the easiest way to bet on your favorite college football team. That's FanDuel.com. And now back to the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Red and Blue Crew podcast. We appreciate everybody joining us today. Our title and presenting sponsors are, of course, the Velvet Ditch and the Land Shark. Also grateful for our friends at the Hearn Law Firm and John O'Reed and the Dirt Doctor. Excited, David, to have a very special guest. He's in the Lincoln Tunnel in New York. He'll be out in just a minute. We'll be able to see him. It's Brandon Dart. We all know him, the incredible Dart family. Of course, the dad of Jackson Dart, who's now with the New York Giants. And Brandon, I know we can't see you very well. We'll see you in a minute. But thanks very much for carving out a few minutes to talk about Jackson's time at Ole Miss and, of course, everything he's doing up in New York.
Hey, Beth. It's a pleasure to be on and always grateful to talk to the folks back in Oxford and share our experiences and reflect on, many, many great memories.
Brendan, I want to get this started by talking about Jackson Dart before Ole Miss. And, this is a little bit of a family question here, but at what point growing up, and let me say this, Brandon was a great player at Utah. So at what point growing up did you figure out Jackson was going to be a quarterback? And, when did the grooming process start? Because I know that starts with the dad. When did that start?
Well, interesting enough, just my experience, I never thought that I would have a son play the quarterback position. My experience was always, mainly on the defensive side. I played both ways in high school, but more of a running back slot and then obviously safety. And so I just figured that if I had sons, they would kind of follow in my footsteps. And that was kind of the plan initially. It was, I think, third grade when we were able to, or Jack was able to start playing tackle football after a couple of years of flag. And the coach that he was assigned to ended up getting a promotion and wasn't going to be able to coach. And so he asked myself and a couple of the fathers if they'd be able to coach the team. And obviously there wasn't really many other options. It wasn't even my goal to coach Jackson that young either. But as it was just simple, the first few days we're just trying to figure out what we have as far as talent goes, and it was really easy to see that there was only going to be one kid that was going to be able to run the show, and I think it just Jackson innately just had a good grasp on just simple concepts of football. And really he was the only kid that could take a snap, throw the ball. And you know, once that was established, it was kind of like, okay, here we go. I'm going to try to do this the right way and put him in a position where he could learn, you know, the position, you know, in and out, and didn't really have the expectation even at that time that it was going to turn into where we are now. But I just figured we'd have some fun with it. And you know, that's kind of where it all got started.
Man, you guys have had some fun. Look, his college stardom aside, he is the reigning NFL Rookie of the Month. Do you have to pinch yourself? I mean, about the success he's having. And not only that, reigning NFL Rookie of the Month, the fact he's starting for the New York Giants as a rookie is absolutely, well, I would say incredible, but it's just what you would expect from Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff. I mean, even the whole process has been a little bit hard to kind of comprehend. You just kind of live in the moment. And, you know, a lot of the times we look at each other, or my wife, Karen, and I, and just think like, holy cow, like, you know, every Sunday, you know, we're at another iconic stadium and really just wishing that Jackson, you know, plays well and then walks off the field. But I think in other ways, we've always known that whatever somebody's opinion of Jackson is initially, they're always going to be wrong. So even in the draft process, when, you know, he came out and he was going to be a late second round or an early third round, we always knew from the get go. And I think even, you know, everybody at Old, you know, Kiff and Coach Weiss and Coach Judge, like, they all knew. It's like once somebody gets their eyes on him and spends time with him, it's always, the trajectory is always going to be steep. And even when he's at camp and whatnot, you know, he's fearless in a way that he is able to judge, you know, his talent level versus the others. And right away, he just, you know, he said, "Dad, like, I'm going to be able to play a lot earlier than people expect me to play." And so I think he's much more prepared than people, you know, gave him credit for. And I think a lot of that goes to, you know, Coach Kiff, Coach Weiss, and Coach, you know, Coach Judge. Like, those guys prepared him in a way that I don't think people really truly understand the complexities of what they, you know, quote unquote, say Kiffin's offense or whatever they want to throw out there. You know, they put a lot on his plate, and I think they put a lot on quarterbacks just in general. And so, you know, he's ready for the pressure, but, you know, at the same time, you know, as a father, you're just, when you see that, you know, offensive rookie of the month, his first month, you know, starting, you know, it's pretty surreal. And, you know, obviously we're extremely, extremely proud of him. But at the same time, when that came out, you know, it's a quick congratulatory, but it's, hey, this is, you know, there's a lot more ahead. Your best days are ahead. And the focus of, you know, week in and week out mentality and his of just whatever he can do to win games, like, he's going to do his part and more to win games. So he doesn't really care too much about that. He just wants to win, which, you know, makes everybody's life a lot easier.
Right on. Brad, I'm going to throw it to you.
Brandon, I'd love to go back to when Jackson made the decision to transfer from Southern Cal. And what was the thought process of choosing Ole Miss? And what were your thoughts whenever you finally were able to see the campus and make your decision, or make Jackson make his decision to come to Ole Miss?
That honestly was a very interesting time. It was the first year of the portal. Nobody kind of knew how that was going to work. Jackson was very, very late getting in, just because of the complexities and not wanting to leave USC. But once it happened, I was actually in the air to Sonora, Mexico, on a hunting trip when he submitted his name, and within the minute it dropped, my phone was buzzing phone calls from coaches, and it was you know, quite the, I don't know, it was just, we weren't really truly prepared. And so being late, there was only a few schools that he really had interest in going to. And most of those were in the SEC. And at the time, you know, maybe one or two in the Pac-12, but, you know, Ole Miss was always one of those schools that he was interested in, just with the connection of Kiff to Southern California, USC, and then obviously Matt Corral, you know, him coming from California himself, and I think the stuff that we would see on TV. So when it happened, I mean, there were a lot of phone calls between myself, him, his mother, just trying to narrow down, like, hey, where do we actually want to go visit? And once we kind of put a few things together, I think I watched it was either the SEC championship or the national championship in some Mexican hotel. Once we kind of set that, those trips up, I wasn't even planning on going to Oxford. It was just going to be Kara and Jackson, cause I was going to be like dead, like right in the middle of the hunt. But I told her, I'm like, hey, when you get there, like, call me, I'll get to a mountaintop and get as much service as I can so that we can have a phone call. And so I did it. I think the day that they landed, and she's like, Brandon, like, you got to get here. And she just said, they've only been there for a few hours, but she just said, this place is, I think it's something special and far different than what she had imagined. And so I think at 2 a.m. in the morning, I got picked up by a by a cowboy, a Mexican cowboy. And I had like a 6-hour drive to Arizona, to Tucson, to catch a flight like the next morning, and was able to get in that night. And all I had was my hunting clothes and a backpack. And
that fit in good in Mississippi, Brandon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. I fit right in. So it was, I think just, you know, kind of being there, it snowed that night. And that was, I guess, the first time it had snowed in a little bit. And I think there was some connection, like, JDB, he had recruited Jackson at USC and was, you know, the tight end and passing game coordinator. So there was a good connection there. We'd had a relationship already built from the time before. And I think just being, you know, like seeing the way Oxford just kind of gravitates and surrounds their entire culture with, you know, with the Rebels and sport, and especially football. It just, you know, I think Jackson could feel the energy. Obviously, they had a great year that year going to the Sugar Bowl. You know, Kiffin is very, very, very good at recruiting when he wants somebody. And I think that in due time, you know, I think Jackson just felt like he needed to make, you know, a big move in his life, not only from a football standpoint, but just as a person, and kind of make that step to, you know, to be on his own, even though he's only, I think at the time he's like 18 years old. So, you know, I just, you know, I felt like with Coach Weiss at the time, and I think they had a good plan. Obviously there was going to be a quarterback competition, but mm-hmm. We felt like, you know, there could be some really special things that happened. And all of that just would land on Jackson's shoulders, but we all have faith that in competitive environments, like he's deeply passionate about you know, winning jobs and competing, and knew that in due time things would work out.
David, let me follow up real quick. Brandon, mm-hmm. Jackson and Lane Kiffin forged an incredible friendship. I think player coach, and I think if you'd ask either one of them, they probably learned a lot from each other. Lane was growing as a head coach, and Jackson was growing as a starting quarterback, and I'm sure that friendship continues to this day. I know Lane even told us that he went down to New Orleans to watch Jackson and the Giants play the Saints earlier this year. Your overall thoughts on Lane Kiffin throughout Jackson's tenure at Oxford, their relationship, and your relationship, your family's relationship with Lane Kiffin?
Well, I think first and foremost, he's a great mentor for Jackson. That relationship, like you said, was it was built, from kind of bottom up. He didn't make things easy for Jackson at first, and I think he kind of wanted to see what he was all about. And so there was, I think it took a, at least probably up to 18 months to really forge, the relationship to where it is today. But I think over time it was, Kiffin does a really good job of making sure that, things are earned and maybe over-earned. And I think Jackson, on the other hand, had to learn patience, had to learn how to navigate, creating trust between a coach that has had a lot of success. But at the same time, I think Kiffin also learned from Jax the special relationships that can be built. And I think between the two of them, Jackson's going to pour his heart and soul into everything that he does. And he knew that creating that relationship with Kiffin was going to be essential to that part. And I think once Kiffin kind of understood him totally as a person inside and out, that there was a not only just a player coach relationship, but a deep friendship that was created. And as it is today, I mean, as we were texting on our Kiffin Dart family text thread, because there was I think Boomer Esiason, it said something in the media today that, maybe they should throw out the, a potential, coaching applicant to Kiffin. And he kind of just sent it over with us like a smirk and just said, it's too cold in New York for me. But it's just kind of funny. But we have our, weekly interactions with him and his family. And it's, I think, Jackson holds high regard. Kiffin is one of his most trusted allies, and I think he uses him, for advice in a lot of different ways. And so there's constant communication between them, even today, and there's a lot of that, between our families. So I don't think we could have asked for, a more special coach, relationship between our family and our son. So we're very, very grateful for Coach Kiff.
Ole Miss fans, Chris Beard and the Rebels are back. That means fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. From Malik D and Elias Carmadine and other Rebels, that's points, rebounds, steals, and more. Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. The NBA is in full swing. Think Ja Morant will go over 4.5 rebounds for the Grizzlies? I do too. How about 24.5 points? Just a few simple clicks and it's winning time. I speak from experience, and if I can do it, anyone can. It's that simple. Download the Underdog app today and use my promo code CHAMPIONS to score $100 in bonus funds or bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Must be present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms_DFS_.html for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Fall calls for comfort. Mack Weldon's got essentials designed for cool days and timeless style. Their new Ace line combines comfort with sophisticated looks. Go to MackWeldon.com for 20% off your first order of $125 or more with code MACK25.
Brandon, I know Jackson and Eli Manning are close. We talked about that the other day. How much ribbon do you get, or is it even noticed, that Ole Miss has been a great producer of New York Giants quarterbacks from way back to when Charlie Connerly was playing to Eli Manning, now Jackson Dart? I mean, what's that like? Are people talking about that?
Well, I mean, there's always stuff brought up. Like there was a thing on TV just the other day where it was something about, I can't remember, like Jackson. Oh, it was most games in a season with a rushing touchdown and a passing touchdown. And, you know, on the list was Chuck Connerly and you know, Jackson had surpassed everybody to this point, but there's still, you know, they're between like owner, like Mr. Mara and whatnot. They still, you know, they still hold that Ole Miss. And that's kind of when I met him the day after the draft. And, you know, he just said, we all know what happens when Ole Miss quarterbacks, you know, become Giant quarterbacks. And those are great things. And that's what we expect. So I think it is unique. It is special. And I think those that are in the know understand that.
Brandon, I think in any line of work, whether it be sports or insert your career here, there are going to be ups and downs. And I think we all learn from when we get knocked down to get back up. And Jackson knows that better than anybody while he was at Ole Miss, from the mountaintop of beating top-ranked Georgia to the low point of losing to Kentucky. I would argue that the LSU game was, just from me watching, one of the low points of the career of Jackson Dart at Ole Miss. And I would like to ask, the picture that I took that went kind of famous online was when we asked Jackson during the end of the game, and he handled himself professionally, but you could tell that he was really beaten down. How much do you think he learned from that, and how much do you think that is going to help him, or maybe already has, as a quarterback of the Giants? When kind of things get bad, you think about the things that you kind of learned from at Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think that was everything that happened at Ole Miss and the SEC and the pressures of winning and, you know, wanting to obviously make the playoffs. Like, those pressures aren't felt in very many other places. And, you know, Jackson takes a lot of weight on his shoulder. And I think especially with that team last year of, you know, his involvement from, you know, the recruiting of the portal and different things of that nature. Like, He had the weight of the program on his shoulders. He knew that. And that LSU game, I have very vivid memories, and I will always have memories of that loss, where, you know, there was just so many opportunities that we kind of just kept giving away. And then eventually, you know, we obviously lose that game, and he knew the gravity of that loss. And I think that kind of, in a sense, like overcoming that to beat Georgia, you know, a few weeks later and whatnot, and kind of the ups and downs of just the SEC and, you know, anybody winning on any particular Saturday. I think, you know, in the NFL, there's a lot of games that are one score games, and the pressures to do that. I think that for his growth and preparation, those were essential parts of that, and him kind of understanding on how to handle the pressures and really releasing some of that, because you can't put everything on him, but he likes, you know, those are situations that he's thrived in, like the previous year when they won a lot of games on last minute drives, and then losing, you know, those the following year in horrible ways. And so I think that as a quarterback, you have to experience that one way or the other. And I think that those experiences have done him very, very well thus far.
And David, let me follow up real quick. By the way, Brandon, you made a great point, and Lane talks about that a lot. 2 years ago, 4-0 in one score games. The following year, 0-3 in two score in one score games, I should say. So in this year, they've kind of reversed it and done really well in one score games. I'm curious, Brandon, your thoughts when every time a quarterback comes along, depending on whatever school or team that he plays on, there's always that one moment to where the fan base goes, that's my quarterback. And I want to take you back to a couple of years ago whenever I think that moment happened for a lot of Ole Miss fans, and it was when Ole Miss was on the road against Georgia Tech. And that's when Jackson lowered his shoulder and absolutely demolished a cornerback for Georgia Tech. And I will tell you, I was in the press box, and it was a collective moan throughout the press box. The dude barely got up. Now, we would learn that Lane would kind of make a joke about that and tell Jackson to slide. And then sometimes he would, sometimes he wouldn't. But that's kind of a lot of moments that Jackson kind of solidified himself as being the Ole Miss quarterback. And he's so beloved at the university and will forever be known as one of the best to ever wear the uniform. I'm just curious as to when you and your family's thought, okay, this is kind of settling in. I think he's the guy for Ole Miss.
I mean, obviously that was a part of that competition. That moment was, I think, kind of crucial for him and the team, for him just to kind of show, you know, what he was about from, I think, just a total football player standpoint. And I think that really solidified, I think, his role at that time. And then I think you kind of like, you know, you kind of move down into, you know, some of his other, you know, big games and big moments. And I think that, you know, the following season, I mean, obviously you're going to have, I think that season as well, it was right before their bye week at Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. I was at the stadium, and it was like a 3-point game, third down and something, and we're going to the end zone, and they run a boot play that he throws to Kelly in a high pressure situation where he's got guys in his face, and that kind of solidified the win. And you know, I think being in that environment with 100+ thousand people, and it was as loud as you could ever imagine, and kind of, you know, just throwing a dot of a ball, you know, was those are big time wins. And then you just kind of move on to the next season, whether we're, you know, the Texas A&M game at home. Obviously, I think the one of the best games I've ever been a part of was that LSU game at home when they came back, and that was a really turning point of that season after they had lost to Alabama on the road. And obviously that, you know, spun them into, you know, the Peach Bowl victory, which was, you know, a big, big victory, you know, for that season, and winning that 11th game. And I think those types of things, you know, we kind of knew that, hey, like, you know, Jackson's got a chance, and Jackson's kind of put his you know, flag on the ground as far as Ole Miss history. And I think he, you know, when it's all said and done, when people start to reflect on him and what he was able to accomplish, there'll be, you know, there'll be a lot of that, you know, as far as that chatter goes. But, you know, we've had just so many great experiences and wonderful and stressful moments there that we'll never forget.
By the way, that home game against LSU, Jackson threw for 389 back in the 23 season. And that A&M game, 387. And, of course, the bowl game, 379. Three humongous gains for Jackson Dart in a very fun season. That 23 season was a lot of fun. The Rebels obviously falling on the road against Georgia, but that was the infamous Lane Kiffin press conference, and we would know how things would turn at that point. But, yeah, some great games for Jackson back in that 23 season and, of course, the 24 season as well.
Brandon, thank you for joining us today. And, man, we just can't I'd hug your neck if I were in New York City, where obviously it's dark, daylight savings time.
Yeah, it gets darker than I appreciate it. And, yeah, all the love to Ole Miss and you guys. And we definitely always look forward to coming back.
And, Brandon, before we let you go, Brandon, real quick, just your thoughts about the Ole Miss fans. I know I've had some great conversations with your family over the years on road trips. But I know just from the outside looking in, looks like you guys really enjoyed your time in Oxford. And just give your kind of overall thoughts on the Ole Miss fan base.
Oh yeah, I mean, we can't thank them enough, and I think it we know it was such a special part of Jackson's life. I mean, he like loves and adores them, and I mean to the point where you know he purchased a home there. You know, he has a very special neighborhood with lots of kids, and you know they would do. I mean, every game they're putting up, I mean, I don't even know, 50 signs and decorating his garage door and leaving, you know, all sorts of fun things for him. And I think just, you know, more than that was, you know, just the fan base in general. There was just a lot of love. They, you know, they treat their Rebels very, very well. And I think they went over and above on you know, the relationship they developed with Jackson. And I think that will never, ever like leave his memories. And as far as we're concerned, we have, you know, dear friends there. We still have lots of connections with people, you know, in the community and anytime we can get back to visit, you know, we look forward to that. And I, you know, I can't thank him enough, really. I mean, it was a blessing beyond what we could ever imagined, and we're more than grateful and you know, happy to call Oxford our second home.
Brandon, be sure to tell Jackson we said hello. We love him. We're pulling for him. All from right here in Oxford. Everybody is.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate that. We feel the love, and we met so many people in New Orleans. Like half that stadium was Ole Miss fans, so we love them and can't wait to see them.
Well, Brandon, thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us. And once again, pass along to Jackson how proud we are of him. And I know the Ole Miss fans are incredibly proud of all of you. And thank you and your family for being not only great parents, but great fans of the Rebels. And thanks very much for joining us.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.